Everybody, Sarah Grillo here. Welcome back to the Sarah Grillo podcast. And today I'm very excited to be here at Betterment. Ta-da! And so honored to speak with Kara Reisman. How are you, Kara?
Hi. First off, I just want to say thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Perfect. So what is Betterment for Advisors all about?
So Betterment for Advisors is a digital wealth management platform that automates investment management and streamlines operations. We're focused on helping advisors scale their practices. What does that mean? So we streamline operations and we automate investment management via an advisor tool and then an end client experience.
Okay, tell me about each of those, please.
Yeah.
Okay. The advisor tool. Mm-hmm. And the client tool.
Yeah, so the platform has two components. It has that advisor tooling where advisors can see all of their clients' assets, they can take certain actions, and then it has an end client experience, which for the end client is completely white labeled with the advisor branding. So the advisor really is front and center for all client communications.
Unbelievable. So it's white labeled. So if I'm White Oak Planning, they'll actually see the White Oak Planning logo and my brand and everything. Okay. So how does this work from a financial perspective in terms of the cost? And it probably varies according to whatever the setup structure is, but can you give me an idea? Is this low cost for the advisor? Does the client pay? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So we actually charge a 25 basis point fee to the end client. And then advisors can charge the fee on top of that to their client. So they can charge up to 150 basis points. That all to the end client is captured as one fee. And then we handle all the billing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how does somebody, if I'm an advisor and I've got clients that are interested in this platform and they're coming to me, what do I say to them about where the assets will be safe kept? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is a great question. And it's really up to the advisor around how they want to introduce Betterment into the equation. We are the custodian, so you'll see some of our kind of name in the sort of bottom of the page and the disclosures. But it's ultimately really up to the advisor whether they want to communicate around, hey, we're partnering with Betterment for Advisors as my technology tool, or I don't really want to talk about Betterment in the relationship. We really want to let the advisor drive that part of the conversation.
So the assets are custodied at Betterment.
Betterment, yes.
Okay. How big is that platform? Is it, you've got in the trillions or
yeah.
billions or what?
So we have 14 billion in assets across all Betterment business lines. But I just want to say something about kind of being assets custody here. We are a fully integrated system. And because we are actually the custodian, that affords us a lot of benefits around kind of that automated investment management piece. Things like automatic rebalancing or the ability to trade fractional shares. We're able to do all those things because we are the custodian.
Right. Or your tax loss harvesting. Mm-hmm. Also, is that an example? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do clients or advisors ever express a little bit of hesitation about custodying? And you know me, I don't mince any words. I'm just saying it because advisors, I know you're listening to this saying, I'm going to tell my client that instead of Fidelity or a Schwab, this is going to be custodied at Betterment. Mm-hmm. So is this an issue of worry for advisors because this isn't JP Morgan Chase's custody platform?
Mm-hmm. To be honest, we actually really don't receive concerns from advisors on that end. I think they recognize sort of the value of the technology. We obviously, are registered with all the appropriate regulatory bodies. We go through all the same processes as all the other custodians do. Mm-hmm. And we're able to talk about that as needed.
Right. Okay. So let's look at this from a day-to-day perspective. How in-depth do these services really go in terms of, let's take tax loss harvesting, for example. So for advisors to do this, very manual, very labor-intensive, you take care of it. Tell me about that process a little bit.
Yeah, so we do obviously the tax loss harvesting. We also have another feature, which happy to go into, called asset location. We do all of that for our advisors and really their advised clients. You know, the tool is completely set up to account for things like the wash sale rule, all with the goal of obviously...
just maximizing tax efficiency, right?
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah,
no, it's okay. Right. So, but if I'm an advisor and I'm manually doing tax loss harvesting, that would be maybe on a quarterly basis at most, right? Probably. Unless I'm a really high touch service and I'm doing this all the time. But are you saying that this tax loss harvesting occurs on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, it's a great point, actually. We've even talked to advisors who are doing that only on an annual basis.
I could. I'm
so yeah.
Right.
So we are looking for opportunities on a daily basis. It's completely ongoing.
Does this have any negative consequences from a gains perspective?
So we monitor for all of that, including looking across accounts.
And then what about trade costs? Does that drive up trade costs?
So Betterment, actually, our 25 basis point fee incorporates all trade costs.
Oh, good. See, I'm glad I asked about that. I mean, advisors, let me know on this podcast. Am I addressing the concerns? Do you have other questions? See, that's what I would ask if I was an advisor. Okay. So I guess my question is then, first of all, how many advisors do you have on your platform, either, you know, by assets, by relationships? How big is Betterment for advisors?
Yeah, so we have over 400 firms using the platform today.
Firms as in nominal financial advisor firms or 400 advisors?
Firms as in the former. Nominal financial firms, and then we obviously have many more advisors
depending
on the size of the firm.
Okay.
We tend to work with, or we can work with sole proprietors, but we also work with very large firms.
Hmm. Yes, I have heard that. You are pretty much the 800-pound gorilla in the space, right? Okay. Now, in terms of the overall relationship, do you see advisors that come to you and say, this helped me to grow my business? Or are they kind of saying this isn't really taking off? Or what feedback do you get from the advisors that are using this?
So, you know, you're a marketing expert. I'm sure you're going to say this is a couple of cliches and love feedback there. But, you know,
did you read my cliche blog? Is that you listened to the episode one, Don't Be a Cliche, didn't you?
Yes. I may have. But, you know, in all honesty, very direct person here, we're really all about how can we position and enable advisors to scale their practices. Mm-hmm. What does that mean behind the cliche? We want to ensure that the technology can do things that technology does better and ultimately allow the advisor to do the things that they do better and allow the advisor to really bring their value to the table. If that value is defined by bespoke financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, we're in a position where we can kind of automate the investment management and automate kind of the back office so that they can focus on that. Perhaps the advisor really wants to focus on kind of business development and just working with clients, building those relationships. Again, the technology is here to allow that advisor to do what they do best.
So the word robo-advisor, is Betterment even a robo-advisor? It means so many things. I have people come to me that are starting robo hedge funds. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can a hedge fund be robo? Mm-hmm. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I mean, we always get that question, do you like being called a robo-advisor? Do you not like being called a robo-advisor?
The artist formerly known as robo-advisor, right.
Which is probably accurate. We're not afraid of that term. I think, obviously, that's how the industry knows us and understands us. And robo really refers to the actual technology and the algorithm behind our investment management and our investment advice. But, you know, you've got the word advisor in there because there's clearly humans involved as well.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So I've also heard the term hybrid robo-advisor. So I'm assuming when you say humans are involved as well, that would be the hybrid robo-advisor scenario, no?
So I think the hybrid robo-advisor in my mind refers to those firms that are still using robo technology, but maybe have a few people here and there who can kind of pick up phone calls for when you maybe have a question on, you know, the advice that you're getting off of that robo technology. We at Betterment, if you're thinking about Betterment specifically, not Betterment for Advisors, mm-hmm. I think of that as kind of as technology that provides more personalized advice, leveraging algorithms as well as humans.
Mm-hmm. So my impression is, in my circles, maybe this is just me, but I do talk to an awful lot of advisors, and I have just found that so many of them have this idea, it's like this myth that I just want to dispel, that is, and I'm not even talking specifically about your company, but that financial advisors are competing with robo-advisors. In my opinion, I think that robo-advisors are probably the gift to the industry that we have all been waiting for. I know when I was an advisor, I had a bunch of, I guess you could say, smaller accounts, people that had high income and they were accumulating or growing their assets. And it was so operationally heavy for me to serve them because it's a liability that you're operating under. You miss one, account review, right? Or the market goes down and, you thought you put in the stop loss order and you didn't. And now you get a screaming client on the phone. I think that for advisors who want to massively scale their business and who are patient enough to work with that millennial wealth, whether it's that they're building their portfolios or that they're maybe already have wealth or they're going to have it in years to come, I just think that this is not a competitor. I think that this is a tool that instead of having your head in the sand that I want my 1%, right? Get me my 1%. I'm not splitting it with anybody. I think advisors that you really need to think about, and I'm not endorsing Betterment here. I'm agnostic. I am just saying that I am dispelling the myth that advisors are competing with the robo platforms. Do you agree?
Totally, totally agree. And you really actually spoke to one of the common use cases for the platform. So we tend to work with those advisors that are more focused on wealth management as opposed to investment management. And that comes in a variety of forms. Specifically, so one of the use cases you just pointed out is we do have advisors who are actually saying to us, hey, I manage assets I have a great client, and I'd love to also be able to work with their mother or their brother, but they don't necessarily meet the minimums. How can I use your technology to streamline kind of the operations for that client so that I can ultimately still give them a great service, mm-hmm. but do it at a profitable price point?
That's right. Make it profitable. Yes. Advisors, did you hear that? So, and the other thing that I love about this is advisors sometimes tend to think, oh, well, I can't change my whole business to work with the robo-advisors. You don't have to work completely with the robo-advisor, right? Like, you don't have to use Betterment for Advisors for your whole book. For example, what I would do is, if I had to do it all over again, which I'm not a financial advisor anymore because I had 3 children in 3 years and lived to tell about it, by the way, everybody, as you know, if you've been following my podcast. But I love the idea of this. So imagine a scenario where you have an affluent client. They've got $2-3 million under management. You're working with them. And of course, there you are doing the estate planning, liability management. Maybe they have a business. You're helping them with succession planning, whatever. But then they have these children who maybe they're Henrys. Maybe they're high income, not rich yet or whatever, right? Maybe they are just accumulating, right? Maybe they're not even high income earners, but they might be in the future. Or maybe they're never going to be high income earners, but they're probably going to inherit the wealth. How do you keep those clients close to you while not having to suffer through the annual review of a portfolio of $5,000 and helping you pay down your college debt, right? How do you do that operationally? Well, do what I'm going to call, there's a blog, by the way, that I have. I'm not sure if it's going to either be coming out by the time this podcast is on or if it's already come out. But anyways, where it's what I call the private bank plus model, where you're giving that high touch service, very customized, totally human to these affluent clients, but at the same time, keep their children close to you, have them on the robo platform, keep everybody happy. It's not one size fits all anymore when you want to keep that intergenerational wealth going on in your practice.
Definitely agree. Right? In addition to all the reasons that you just spoke about and I referenced before around kind of ensuring that you can service these clients in a profitable way, the other thing we find with particularly this use case is these clients are demanding a digital solution as part of the overall experience. While we do have some advisors whose end clients don't actually maybe log in, there are others, particularly in this group, who are saying, I want to have some digital interface. And we've obviously believe we've got kind of the best technology on that front.
Yeah. So now if I'm an advisor and I'm thinking, okay, I want to set this up. There are so many options out there. Now, we all know Betterment was the one that broke through the ice baby. Does anybody know Vanilla Ice besides me? I feel like I'm dating myself.
I, of course, do.
Vanilla ice baby. Anyways, so Betterment came on the scene. Everybody copied Betterment. The custodians got it, said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. See, I told you I have kids. And copied the robo-advisors. We all know, I mean, come on, right? Tap in. But that's always how it is. The creative, smaller brands, the entrepreneurs bring the ideas, and then the big brands copy it and disrupt them back. And then now here we are with, there's Schwab coming out with robo, there's TD, and then there's Benner. There's, I would call them the independent robos, and then there's these custodian robos. Of course, this is an attractive model to the custodians because, let's be honest, getting $5 a trade, you know, making money off their custody assets, like the custody services are increasingly a commoditized business. I know because I used to work at a custodian. So they love this idea of getting 20 basis points instead of like diddly squat. So what I'm getting at, and just talking, because I just get excited when I get to talk a lot because when I'm home, no one listens to me. Thanks for humoring me, everybody. But anyway, so how does this compare to, let's say, Schwab institutional intelligent portfolios? You don't have as cool an acronym, by the way. You don't have as many words. It's just Betterment. So you can always tell if it's a bank product or an entrepreneurial product because how many words are in the title of it. So Schwab Institutional Intelligent Portfolios or TD Essential something or other, right? Like, how does this really compare to these other copycats? Sorry, everyone from TD or Schwab. Don't hate. You can rant about me on Twitter. It's okay. I welcome the attention. You wouldn't be the first one. Oof, should hear that. People take me down hard on Twitter. Check it out, everybody. Grillo Invest. @ Grillo Invest. Okay, go ahead.
So we feel like we have a few differentiators relative to these platforms. I'd say first and foremost, there's no conflict of interest in the types of funds that we offer. We don't have any of our own funds here. So we're not necessarily offering, you know, the Schwab ETF on our platform. I mean, we can, or maybe said differently, we're not offering a Betterment ETF on our platform. We don't have Betterment ETFs, so no conflicts of interest around funds. Mm-hmm. As it relates to the features, you know, we've heard time and time again from our advisors that they love our paperless account opening. So it's a really seamless process with clients, no paper involved. You go through a quick thing, you check the box, and there you go, your client's legal account is set up. The last thing I've heard is from kind of the portfolio management or the outsourced investment management piece, we've heard great feedback on our asset location feature.
So I'm going to wrap up here. I'm sure everyone has better things to do than to listen to me go on and on. I hope this has been entertaining. Thank you so much to Betterment. And I guess in closing, what I like to do is I always like to have three action items that advisors can work on after they listen to my podcast. I've always said I'm not a motivational expert like Tony Robbins, so I have to make this actionable, not as motivating as him. So what are three things? I'll say the first one, so I'll give you time to think about it because I know that I'm springing this on you here. Did I have another question? Oh, no. Okay, I already did that. The first thing is for advisors who have not yet thought about robo, sit down and think about what you could possibly do in your business for a well-to-do person that maybe doesn't have the assets that million or more that you would take onto your private banking platform. But what are the value adds that you could really do to serve this client base? Think of, is it that you have estate planning knowledge? Is it, right, whatever it may be, okay? Think of those services. And then as a second one, think about how much time would you, if it meant that you could potentially incubate clients for the future, what does that look like in your world? What kind of a market would you be able to take on? Would it be 20 clients a month? Would it be 200 clients a month? What would you need in order to make the time that you're investing in this worth it to you from a profit loss standpoint? And for the third one, Kara, any ideas about what they could, what advisors could do to better improve their ability to leverage robo-advisors?
I mean, I think the first thing that I would really think about is they should take a hard look at how they're spending their time and think about that in the context of where they should be, where they want to spend their time and where they believe they can really be adding value. And then they should think about how technology can replace the areas of where they do not want to be spending their time.
Totally agree with you. You know what the problem with that is that I always say this, and everybody gets so mad at me, but let's admit it, a financial advisor really is a salesperson. I know everybody's going to hate me. Go ahead, Twitter, Grillo Invest. Look me up. But it's true because that's how you're compensated. And your client base is eventually going to whittle down to nothing because people are either going to pass away or
so
I'm going to wrap up here and give you probably more people are getting divorced and passing away at this rate in our society. But assets are going to go elsewhere. They're going to decide after one bad market that they hate you and leave or whatever. And we all know this. Or the portfolio is actually just going to go to nothing because people are retiring off this portfolio. So you really are a salesperson at the end of the day. You're compensated like a salesperson. So no denying this. Now, there I go with my big mouth again. Anyway, so but the question is, how can we really keep ourselves mobile so that we can shoot the ball more? Because I just think financial advisors really need to get out there. I mean, if you're making, like for me, I always make it a priority in my business, and this actually changed my business a lot, was I always think, the first thing I do every day is I think, who's got my business, right? Like, what do I need to do today to get one lead in my pipeline? And although everyone kind of yells at me when I say that, it's like you have to put that priority into your business, because if you don't, inevitably you're going to lose a big client or there's going to be a recession or whatever, and then you're going to be caught flat-footed like everybody else. So it's kind of like prospect when you don't think you need to be prospecting. I think that's the best strategy. And what this is going to allow you to do is open the door and free up your time so that you should be – and I'm not saying go out there and try to sell them a big old annuity. What I'm saying is go out there and build relationships. Why don't you start a blog? You know, like every time I would do a blog with a client, it's like it takes me like 3 weeks to get like 300 words done. It's like, can you revise the blog, please? Not saying anything about any of my clients in particular. I'm just saying a lot of times we worry about the operational aspects of our business, whereas in reality, the firms that are more profitable are going to be those that take care of their clients better. They're going to be the ones with more longevity. And in general, the client's experience is going to be better. So use this technology, because advisors, I'm telling you directly, they will win. Technology will win at what technology is best at. I'm not saying a robo-platform can do an estate plan better. What I'm saying is you do the human stuff, let the technology do the technology stuff, let go of that 1% for that, and then make it up in other ways where you can provide higher value. And in the long run, you will build a more profitable practice with a pipeline that is rich. And I think we all agree, nothing wrong with a big, full pipeline. So, Betterman, thank you so much. Kara, thank you so much. And everybody, people on the podcast, advisors, thank you so much. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Bye.